Welcome in to another special episode of Home Field Advantage. Hope you're all having a great week wherever you may be listening to us across our great country or our great land. It is Sunday, March 24th, 2024, when I'm recording. This episode was intended to come out on Wednesday. I was trying to do my Red Sox preview today and my Patriots mock draft on Wednesday, but we're swapping them, so I'll do my mock draft today and Red Sox preview on Wednesday, which I think should work out because they open the season on Thursday. So with all that said, it might actually work out for the better. And who knows, if I had recorded a mock draft today and released it on Wednesday, then you would have ended up with a situation where there could have been a trade in the meantime and my mock draft wouldn't have come up to be that accurate. Also, with technical difficulties, sometimes things work out for the better, so I hope the audio quality is also better on this pod. But pleasantries aside, we have a lot to get to here. I want to explain my methodology real quick. It's not going to be a super long pod, all right? Really just going to talk about only the Patriots situation in the draft. I'm not going to speculate on all these things. I told you I'd get to that as we got closer. And what I decided to do was give you my initial mock draft today. And then in 4 weeks, I'll do another one as we get closer, because there's probably going to be some changes in trades between now and then. Now, with my first mock draft, I actually split it up into three scenarios. I know, we like confusing. So I came up with what I thought were three scenarios, because what tends to happen is in mock drafts is people will put together a mock draft and they'll inevitably be biases, right? Like, I'll point out what mine are, but there will also be situations where somebody puts together a mock draft and then they don't take into account that there could be other scenarios that make their draft not that accurate. Now, I get that's why it's called a mock draft, but I'm going to try a different methodology, and so I split it up into three scenarios. So we'll go through what I call mock draft 1.1, mock draft 1.2, and mock draft 1.3. I ranked them in order of what I thought was the most likely to the least likely. So I wanted to name them based off what I thought was going to happen versus what I wanted to happen. So I did put together a draft where if I was Elliot Wolf and I was running the Pats, what I would do. People might not like that draft that I put together, but that will be my last one. All right, so I'll start with the most likely scenario, and that revolves around the Patriots drafting Drake May. Now, I'm not a big Drake May guy, but I'll just be honest that he's probably going to be who the Patriots draft at 3. I'd say there's a 67% chance that they draft Drake May, probably a 20% chance that it's a trade down of some kind, which we'll get to. And then I give it maybe a 10 to 13% chance that it's Jaden Daniels. So in that respect, what's most likely to happen is that Drake May is the quarterback of New England Patriots, selected at number 3 overall. Then in this particular mock, I don't have them picking again until number 34 in the second round. And I have them drafting Adonai Mitchell out of Texas. Now, a lot of people have some biases about Adonai Mitchell. A lot of people think he might be a bust. He very well could be. But at this point, he's what they got. And so at 34, if you want to draft a receiver, he's probably going to be the best on the board at 34 in this particular mock. So I have them grabbing Adonai Mitchell at 34. Think maybe like a Deebo Samuel type. Or somebody like that, I think, is a good comp for Adonai Mitchell. I've seen a lot of comps for him. He played on a really good Texas team last year with Quinn Ewers at quarterback. He is an X receiver, which is what they need, right? Like, they 100% need an X receiver. I don't see a lot of amazing upside in him. Like, I don't think he's going to be a all-star. Like, I think he could be, like, a lot of people have comped him to Josh Reynolds. I said Debo. He's probably not as versatile as Debo, but similar build. All right. At 68, I have him getting Patrick Paul. He's going to be a mainstay in my mock drafts. He's an offensive tackle from Houston. The dude is 6'7 and over 300 pounds. A lot of scouts are saying he has some work to do to clean up some mechanics, but I think he could be a really solid pickup at tackle for the Patriots if he's available at 68. Then I have them trading up, I believe it was with... I forget who was at 107. I want to say it was the Titans. I believe I had them traded up with the Titans at 107. I could be wrong there. What's the word I'm looking for? Cheapo when it comes to these mock draft things. So I'm not using the the software that everybody uses, which is the Pro Football Focus, whatever. I'm just not doing that. But at 107, I believe it... they're only showing me the first 100. I think it was the Titans, all right? If it's not, it doesn't matter. I have them trading up for 107 to get DJ James, who's a corner from Auburn. He's really fast. He's bigger. He's like 6'1", 224. And... I think he could be scrappy. I think he'll play the ball. Like, so I have them moving up to get a corner because they do need a corner. As much as I like Christian Gonzalez, he was hurt last year. John Jones isn't getting any younger. And we saw the Jack Jones experience end pretty fast. At 137, I'm getting Jared Wiley, tight end out of TCU. He's going to be another mainstay in my draft. Jared Wiley's 6'7". I believe he's 225. The dude is... a freak. And I really like him. I think he's not going to cost you as much as Jatavion Sanders from Texas in terms of draft capital. And he's going to be sitting there, you know, in the fourth round like that. And you're going to have a chance to swing at him. The scouting report I read from Ian Cummings says it's not a matter of if he's a good blocker. It's when he's a good blocker. They also call him an elite pass catcher. So... I think you're very likely to hit on this guy, unlike a few years ago when they drafted Devin Asiasi and whoever the other guy was, who I forgot. All right, 166, I have him trading up for Cornelius Johnson. He's another receiver from Michigan. Not the most famous receiver from Michigan, but certainly one with upside. He's really fast, and he ran a really strong... a 40-yard dash as a high schooler. I believe he was one of the best in this class, if I'm remembering that correctly. Either way, my notes have him as a strong receiver who can play outside the numbers and inside the numbers. Safety, I have Kenny Logan at 180. He's from Kansas, Kenny Logan Jr. He's one of the most athletic safeties in the draft, and he was one of the best defensive backs in the Big 12 the last few years. I would like them to pick up another safety. He's a hard-hitting guy, a lot like, think, Kyle Duggar or Patrick Chung. So he sort of fits that Patriots mold that I think Mayo will be looking for. And I would just say, if you're going to go defense in this draft, focus on your secondary. Because I think your front seven, you've invested it in with Keon White and Christian Barmore and Efrenny Jennings and all these other guys over the years. And you really have a situation where you can... lean into your secondary this year. And then at 193, I have him getting George Halani from Boise State. He's a running back. He's more of your prototypical third down back. Think James White, Danny Woodhead, Kevin Falk, somebody like that. He's He's more of a gadget guy in some respects. People have called him a jitterbug. Patriots always seem to have somebody like that. Ramondre isn't really that guy. And so I'd like to see the Patriots go out and draft somebody else to fill that role. All right. So that was my first scenario. My second scenario involves them getting Jaden Daniels. Now, like I said, I think it's about a 20% chance they trade down, and I think it's about a 13% chance they get Daniels. That's not because I don't think they draft Daniels at 3 if he's available. It's that I don't think he's going to be available. I think the Commanders are going to take him with the second pick. So, if they don't, and Washington ends up going toward Drake May, then you're going to end up with Jaden Daniels at 3 in your lap, and you take him. All right, so in this particular mock draft, they have Jaden Daniels at 3. Because of that, I had them swap. Last time I had them go get Adonai Mitchell and save Patrick Paul for later, because hoping he was still there. I don't think he's going to be there. So in this particular situation, in my other mock draft, I had Patrick Paul being available at 68. I don't think he's going to be available at 68, really. But if he was, I would get him. In this particular situation, I have the Patriots reaching for him at 34. Because outside of like Alt and some of the other, Fashanu and some of the other highly regarded tackles, Paul's probably going to be the one that dips the lowest. But he's also the only one that's probably going to dip to the second round. The rest of their top tackles are probably going to go in the first round. But if you're sitting there at the top of the second and Paul's available still, which he is in this particular mock, I'd go from there. And then at 68, I have them drafting Xavier Leggett. He's more of a Deebo Samuel type guy. Xavier Leggett is well regarded among scouts, but I think there's a lot of people who are a little bit squirrely about him. You know, personally, I would point out that every single receiver is going to be a risk, right? He had a breakthrough year this year. He was playing at South Carolina. And he's had to work through a lot of stuff in his career, like a lot of adversity off the field. His mother died when he was in like high school his mother died when he was in high school. You know, he's dealt with a lot of stuff, and he's kind of a late bloomer. I think he has the ability to run a lot of good routes. He had to carry a lot of load at South Carolina. He's going to run after the catch a lot. He's going to show a lot of high-end throttle. And the other scouting report I read from Ian Cummings says that he's one of the most imposing receivers in the class because of his reaction speed. So if you're talking about a receiver and a guy that's worth taking a risk on, I think it's Leggett. All right, so you get Leggett at 68. Then I have them trading and going back-to-back with Horned Frogs here. So at 108, this is where my TCU bias might be showing up. 108, I have them getting Josh Newton. He's a corner. I have them trading up much as they did. I think it was with the Giants. At 108, they traded down a couple picks so that they could get Josh Newton. I think he's a strong corner. I think he's one of the... I think he's probably the best corner in the Big 12 last year, if we're being honest. I think you could compare him to other corners that the Patriots have seen on their team, like John Jones, sort of that speed that he has. So I really like Josh Newton. I think Josh Newton is somebody who would fit well in the system. He has a really good press. I'm just reading my notes here. He's patient at the line of scrimmage. This is all what like Bleacher Report and Pro Football Network and other people have said about him. This isn't like me watching him, just so everybody knows. He did transfer from Louisiana Monroe. So he found his way into the Power Five, you know, 33 total tackles in 12 games. You know, he is a tackle machine in that regard, so I think they should grab him if they can. At 37, I have him getting Wiley, 137 that is. And then at 167, I have them going and using some of the picks that they acquired from trading down for the Giants to get Ladarius Henderson. He's an offensive guard from Michigan. I think Ladarius Henderson has strong upside. He was part of that Michigan offensive line. He wasn't Zach Zinter or anybody else, but he, you know, he was a mainstay in that national championship team. And I think he's worth a flyer, especially if you're already able to beef up tackle by getting Paul. All right, then Cornelius Johnson at 180. I think you take a flyer on another receiver. I think I had them grabbing him in my other draft that I just went through. But, you know, Cornelius Johnson, like I said, he's not going to wow people, you know, where that makes him a first-round pick. But I don't think he sucks either. I would certainly be willing to take a flyer on him. I think maybe a faster, maybe bigger, not faster, but maybe bigger Tequan Thornton. All right, and then at 182, I have Tommy Eichenberg, a linebacker from Ohio State. I know I said don't invest too much in the front seven, but if this guy's sitting here at 182 and you've gone offensive heavy, you want to get a guy to beef up the middle of your field, I think Tommy Eichenberg is a tackle machine. He played in the Big Ten at Ohio State, right? He was playing against a lot of good running backs last year, like Blake Corum and others. So if I'm the Patriots and I see him there in the middle of the draft, or sorry, in the late end of the draft, I grab Tommy Eichenberg at 182 with some of the picks that I used to trade down. So that's when I see a situation that would please a lot of fans. You get a couple wide receivers, you get a tight end, you get some defensive help, and then you take a flyer on some guys, and then you're able to steal Patrick Paul early in the second round. All right, now my third scenario is probably the least likely. I don't know. It's really hard because I think it's more likely that they trade down than that they get Jane Daniels. But I also think it's less likely that if they trade down, this is a scenario. All right, but let me go through this. I have them trading 3 to Denver for Denver's pick, which I believe is 6. No. I think Denver might be lower than that. Denver might be like 7 or 8. It doesn't matter what Denver's pick is. I have the Patriots trading 3 for Denver's first round this year, which I, like I said, I don't know because it went away on my screen. So they'll trade 3 for Denver's first this year, Denver's first next year, and Denver's second next year. I don't really see if this is going to happen in real life because Denver's given away a ton of draft capital over the years to get Russell Wilson, and that didn't really work out for them. But either way, if they're able to do that, then I have the Patriots flipping that pick, right, to Tampa for 26. Now a lot of people are like, what are you doing? Trading out of both the first round pick you get your own, then Denver's pick. I'd trade down, I'd get Tampa's 26th overall pick, so now I'm picking at 26 because I'm getting Tampa's first rounder next year. So if you're following me, you're going to end up next year in 2025 with your own first round pick, which probably isn't going to be that high, probably still in the bottom 10 top 10 if I'm being honest. You're going to get Denver's pick next year, which is going to be in the middle of the draft probably, at best. And you're going to get Tampa's pick, which is probably going to be in the low 20s. So, and you're going to get Denver's second as opposed to your own next year. In addition to your own next year. Excuse me. So you're going to end up with, in 2025, 3 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, and possibly more. So this draft, if it's about building toward the future, this is what I want the Patriots to do. All right, this is my pitch. Trade out of the pick and get as much as you can in return. If Denver wants to trade up and get stupid and go get J.J. McCarthy or somebody else or Drake May and they want to give you a haul for it, let them. If they're going to give you a first this year, a first next year, and a second next year, take it. And then you take their pick this year after you've given away your own and you flip it to Tampa. If Tampa wants to go up and, you know, get a receiver to upgrade over an aging Mike Evans who's going to be probably retiring in the next few seasons or slowing down, let him do it. If Tampa wants to move up and get an edge guy, right, let him do it. And then at 26, you take the best tackle on the board, which will still be there. You won't have to reach for anybody, and you won't have to wait for Paul to fall into your lap because you'll have J.C. Latham standing there, who's a large man. All right, I'm pretty sure... Let's pull up his height and weight. I'm pretty sure he's 6'5 or bigger. Right, so let's see here. JC Latham, 6'5, 324. Sure, build your team around him. All right, and you grab him at 26. Then you still have your second rounder at 34. In my particular mock draft with Pro Football, with Pro Football Network, I had Bo Nix available. I know that's going to make some people squirm, but if you don't love Bo Nix, then you take Michael Penix. And a lot of people have said getting a quarterback at 34 is a wasted pick. I don't think so. Because what's the worst case scenario with that? You're getting a quarterback at second round value, a top five quarterback in the draft at second round value, whether it's Nix or Penix. And if it doesn't work out, you have three first-round picks next year in my particular mock draft. So you can move up next year if you suck and want somebody else. Or even if you're good enough, you can move up next year. Like Denver did, or like Tampa did in my particular mock. Then at 57, I have them getting a tight end because they get these picks from Tampa and Denver. At 57, I have them getting Jatavion Sanders. I think he's probably the best tight end in the draft outside of Brock Bowers. But he's not going to be available at 68, and he's not going to be available at 103, where you were drafting before. So by trading up and doing all this, you get a chance to get one of the best tight ends in the draft. Then at 68, you still have your own pick. I go get Leggett, like I talked about. And then, even though you're not getting Drake May, at 76, you can go get his buddy there from North Carolina, Devontae Walker, who's another strong receiver. You can take a flyer on him. So now you're going back-to-back receivers in the second and third round. One of those guys should hit for you. And even if he's not an all-star, it at least gives you young weapons, which this team has been dying for. And then at 103, you can still get Josh Newton like I had in my other draft. Josh Newton out of TCU, tackle machine, best corner in the Big 12. And then guess what? At 137, you have Jared Wiley still available, which you can... go get him again. And then at 180, you can get a safety, Jalen Carlies from Missouri. I really like him. I really like how athletic and big he is. And then at 193, you can take a flyer on a late corner, Jerrion Jones from Florida State. I've heard some good things about him too. All right, so you end this draft with two tight ends who I would consider to be among the best in the draft. You'd have two receivers among who a lot of people think are going to go on at least day two or higher. You end up with a corner who I believe is the best in his conference last year. You end up with another corner with high upside that you're taking late. You get probably the biggest tackle in the league. And most athletic, I shouldn't say biggest. I would say the best value tackle that you're going to get at 26. The only negative about this draft is that you don't get a top three quarterback, right? You're not getting Williams, May, or Daniels. You're not really beefing up the rest of your offensive line. you're only getting Latham, and then you're going to hope that Owenu, maybe somebody else that you brought in, can help out there. But you are upgrading. You've still got Strange. You've got Latham. Now you'll have Owenu. It will still be a little bit of an adventure on the offensive line, I think, unless you're able to get somebody else in free agency or maybe an undrafted guy to come in who some people sleep on. But those are the negatives. The positives are you end up with 3 first-rounders next year. You get 2 tight ends, who I would consider to be the best in the draft, and then all those other focal points I mentioned, meaning that in 2025, the Patriots will run the draft. Because if they're bad, if they're so bad, and like Nix or Penix isn't ready to play, and you've got, but you like what you see, but they're still a top 10 pick because they're bad, and Brissett gets hammered because of a bad offensive line, you'll have 3 first-round picks next year. Just continue to build in the draft. I think a lot of Patriots fans think that they need to get a quarterback like Drake May so that they can like sell the fans that like we got our next guy. Look, that makes sense. I don't completely disagree. But when push comes to shove, I wouldn't be opposed to using this draft capital and stockpiling picks. Because this is not going to be we're going to be the Houston Texans next year. We're going to get our rookie quarterback and be a, you know, first round contender. A playoff contender. I don't see that. I think Houston, like they had Tunsil and Shaq Mason on that offensive line. You know, you trade down, get tackles, get receivers, get tight ends, retool this offense. All I've been hearing for the last couple of years is, oh, they need to retool this offense. You know, and then I have them getting tackles and wide receivers and tight ends by trading down, beefing up with some extra corners. And all I hear when I float this idea is they just focus right on the quarterback. Oh, I don't like Nix. I don't like Penix. Well, you know, if you want to put Drake May out there, have him get hammered, you can do that. Or if you want to have him sit for a year and literally be telling me by Halloween next year that he needs to be playing, we can do that. We can run. We can have that fun. Or we can get a lesser QB, according to scouts, like Nix or Penix. We can have Jacoby Brissett. We can be probably below average, but we can have 3 first-round picks for next year. What would you rather have? Because either way, whether you get May at 3 or Daniels at 3, you're probably not going to win more than 6 games this year. The offense isn't good enough. So you're going to be building for 2025 anyway. You might as well have a bunch of picks in 2025. So that's the draft I'd like to see them do. Like I said, there are weaknesses, right? You get a lesser QB, I will admit. You don't get as many offensive linemen as I'd like. In fact, only one of my 3 mock drafts had them getting 2 offensive linemen. But I think between Paul and Latham, if you just add a bona fide tackle, I think that's a great, great place to start. And look, it's possible that somebody ends up being Isaiah Wynn, right? It's also possible that one of these tackles ends up being Nate Solder or Logan Mankins. All right, that's going to do it for this quick pod. I said it was going to be quick and ended up being half an hour of the Patriots mock. We'll be back on Wednesday with a Red Sox preview for opening day on Thursday. But until next time, hope you have a great rest of your week. You could follow us on social at HomeFieldPod and like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. But until then, as I said, my name is Will Island. You've been listening to Homefield Advantage. If you liked this podcast, please subscribe on your favorite provider, including Spotify, Apple, Google, and Stitcher. Be sure to also check us out 2 times a week
on those platforms on Monday and on Thursday. All of the Sportland USA programs are independent, and the opinions expressed in them do not reflect those of any other company, outlet, person, or entity.